Now, it's time for Backseat Mogul with R. Scott Bolton. He talks about showbiz because showbiz won't talk about him.
Showbiz is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs for no good reason. There's also a bad side.
This is the Backseat Mogul Show, live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. I am the Backseat Mogul, and this is the show where we talk about show business. And today we're going to talk a lot about horror movies because it's that time of year. Sitting across from me, not Johnny D. It's a much more pleasant sight. Sorry, Johnny.
It's
we
true.
We got Devin Crowe in the studio with us today. Devin, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
I appreciate you coming in, filling in for Johnny.
Filling in, temporary, permanent, whatever.
Devin's working on a new show here for Rough Edge FM, so stay tuned for that. We'll be talking a little bit more about that in the coming weeks. Really excited about that, man.
Yeah, I am too.
It's going to be fun.
I got a co-host all lined up and some special guest hosts probably.
Awesome.
So
it'll be a blast.
I also have a couple sponsors now too.
Do you want to give a little hint about what the show might be about?
It's pretty much everything nerdy. I mean, pretty much anime, video game related. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun show.
I'm looking forward to it. I've been trying to beef up the lineup here a little bit at Rough Edge FM, and that's one of the things we can do. We can do that show, and it's going to be great.
Yeah,
so.
It'll kind of fit along with the same lines as the Backseat Mogul, just more on the
more
the nerd side of it.
It's perfect,
so.
And it's probably going to follow the Backseat Mogul show, so that's
more than likely makes good sense.
So that's awesome news. Well, today, by the way, thanks. John is off today because he's... got something he had to do. I think he went to go to Woodland Hills or Northridge or something like that. So, all right, John, fine. You know,
yeah, be a little bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, we're going to talk today about horror movies. And we're going to start off, because I'm going to play a quick song here just to get the mood set, because I got a lot of great horror songs here. And, well, you'll see what we're going to do. And then we're going to talk about the top 20 scariest movies of all time, which is one of Devin's favorite topics, because I understand you're not real good with horror movies.
Oh, I'm terrible with horror movies.
That's perfect. So let's play. This is the Happy Happy Jihads with a song called Creature from the Black Lagoon. And we'll be back to talk about scary movies right after this on the Backseat Mogul Show.
Imagine yourself on a dream vacation. Your vacation is about to end. Something is coming.
There it was.
is the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I wanted to tell you again, that was the Happy Happy Jihads with the song Creature from the Black Lagoon, kind of a surf rock tune there. We're going to play a lot more Halloween-type rock and roll here on the show today. But first, we're going to talk about scary movies because it is Halloween time. Devin, you said you're not very good with Halloween movies. What's the scariest movie you can remember seeing?
What was that?
I know, it's hard to, when somebody asks you, it's hard for that just to pop in your head.
See, I don't watch a lot of scary movies because I'm terrified of them.
I know several people like that. They just can't do it.
I get real anxious, but there's two different kinds of scary movies. Like, there's like ones like Paranormal Activity, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wasn't scary at all. And then there's other ones, like, what was that one that had Tom Cruise's daughter in it, that had the little creatures coming out of the they were after little kids' teeth.
Wow, I don't remember seeing that. It sounds pretty...
It was newer. It was like Into the Dark or something like that. Uh-huh. Or it had whatever, Suri Cruz in it, I think it was. And it was Guillermo del Toro.
Well, he's pretty scary.
Yeah,
so.
He's
got a twisted mind.
Yeah, he's got a pretty twisted mind.
His movie, Pan's Labyrinth. Did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
I love that movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
But there's some really twisted imagery in that movie, too, man. It's like you're watching it going, whoa, what's going on here? And he also, you know, made the Blade movies a lot better than they should have been.
Yeah.
Because he was, I think, a screenwriter on most of those.
Yeah.
He directed the third one, which unfortunately was a mess because Wesley Snipes was in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes was in a snip, so it didn't work out for them. The scariest movie I remember seeing, and still to this day, is probably the scariest movie. And the thing that's weird about it is it's only really scary at the beginning and really scary at the end. And it's the original When a Stranger Calls, when the babysitter's downstairs and the phone's ringing and the guy's all, where are the children? Have you checked the children? And that movie's really, really scary. It didn't make the list, though, of 20 scariest movies according to Entertainment Weekly.
And
we're going to have to take a look at this and see if we agree. And, some of these movies I can see why they say they're scary. And the other thing you have to remember is that even with a list like this, classic scary movies may not be scary by today's standards. And there's one in particular we'll get here to look at in just a minute. They were scary when they originally were released because they were so cutting edge and so new. They may not be so scary these days, but you'll see what I'm talking about when we get to... these movies. So let's just start. Are you ready for this? Tell me if you've seen these movies, which you probably haven't. The Shining from 1980.
You know, I've actually always wanted to see that movie, and I still have yet to see it.
I think The Shining is interesting. It's a Stanley Kubrick film, who, of course, is one of the greatest filmmakers who ever lived. And the thing that's different, the Stephen King book it's based on is really a book about a haunted hotel. It's got ghosts, it's got things, and it's more of a paranormal tale. The film version, though, is more of a tale of a family going crazy. They basically get cabin fever, and because they're locked up in this giant hotel over the winter, they can't go anywhere. They're stuck in the hotel, and they slowly, especially the husband, go insane. And I think that's an interesting difference, making it different than a haunted house story to making it a
cabin
mental
fever.
Health story.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie. The funny thing about The Shining that I always remember is that when the trailers came out for it. There's this one trailer where they were talking about the movie in those scary tones. Yeah. You know, Stanley Kubrick directs Stephen King. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's this hallway with an elevator at the end, and the elevator doors open, and this ocean of blood just pours out in slow motion, and it's, you know, splashing on the lens and all over the walls. And that's not even in the movie.
Really?
It's not even in the movie. That was just the opening trailer for that movie.
Simpsons did that little trailer, too.
They were making a parody of The Shining. Yeah. And it's so funny because that was terrifying. The trailer alone, just the way the blood poured out like sludge almost, you know, in slow motion. And
make a good tampon commercial.
It really would, but might be a little overkill there. So anyway, The Shining, scary movie, Jack Nicholson, great role, but you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
All right, let's see if you've seen this next one. This next one, when it was released, and I was only 12 years old when this movie was released.
So I wasn't even alive.
You weren't
yet.
Even alive, probably. How old were you in 1973?
Not even a twinkle in my mom's eye.
So there you go. That's what I thought. I was afraid to ask. I knew better. The Exorcist.
Oh, I have not seen it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, my mom was crazy. Still crazy. But she wouldn't let us see any movies that had anything to do with demons or things like that, because she thought it would possess us in general. She got in this real big Christian kick, and you know, She was nuts. She wouldn't let us see any kinds of movies.
In her defense, demon movies to me are a little scarier than other movies. And I don't know why. It's almost like if I watch this, am I going to get possessed too? You know,
yeah.
It's just kind of silly, but it's one of those things. And The Exorcist, because of what it did, put a demon in a 12-year-old girl, and the brutal language and violent scenes in that movie's still pretty scary.
And sexual scenes too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Because it's, you know, they pulled no punches. It was an R-rated horror movie like no other.
Yeah.
And it's still a pretty scary movie. And I can see why that made the list because
definitely.
And look at the many spin-offs it's spawned. All the different Exorcist movies that are out today.
Jesus.
I don't think any of them topped that one though.
No.
Not even close.
I found the name of that movie.
With the teeth?
Yeah, with the teeth. So it's called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. And it wasn't Siri Holmes or Siri Cruz or whatever. It was Katie Holmes that was in the movie.
Oh, his wife.
His wife, ex-wife now, thankfully.
Yes.
She was in that movie. And any kind of movie, scary movies that involve children that are the main target terrify me because of my kids and stuff like that.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's even worse.
But it's like these little creepy, like they were locked in this vent or furnace kind of thing, and then the little girl ends up unleashing them, and then they're after her and her teeth, and it's absolutely creepy as hell. It's called Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It was written by Guillermo del Toro.
There you go. I am, if you wonder what the clicking over here is, I'm signing into my Netflix account, and I'm putting that on my list right now. I get to see that. That sounds pretty fun, pretty scary. And I love Guillermo. Guillermo's just his work is just simply amazing. So hold on one second here. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark is now on my Netflix list.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Those kinds of movies scare me because it's like kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like everything else. You know, when it comes to your own safety, you're kind of lackadaisical, whatever, you know. When it comes to your kid's safety, you become a whole different animal.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways about it. So
depends on the kid, I guess.
That's probably true, too.
Gosh, she fell on the stairs. I don't think you
should be
your knee. Run!
Yeah, that's the truth, you know. We were at my nephew's house last night, and he's got a brand new baby girl. She's just about the age where she's starting to crawl. And, of course, you know, she goes crawling over as fast as she can to wooden stair corners and stuff like that. And they're all,
I'm not like
fun.
That. Either of my kids. Baby-proof the house? Let them learn.
That's how.
Here's a penny. Put it in that socket. You'll learn never to do that again.
How else are they going to learn, right?
Exactly.
All right, the third movie on our list is another classic movie. I bet it's another one you haven't seen. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No, I haven't seen that one either.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The thing that's about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and why it's so scary is it's manic. It starts out kind of slow. You know, they pick up this weird hitchhiker, and then they end up at his house where his whole family's nuts and chainsaws flying and hammers falling and all kinds of stuff. It just never stops. And the lead actress in that movie screams constantly from beginning to end. It's hair-raising when she keeps screaming. And the funny thing is, if you watch it nowadays, it's not even that gory. But people will tell you it's the goriest movie they ever saw.
Yeah.
It's not. It gave that impression. So the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and again, how many dozens of sequels and spawns has that got out there?
So
just
many.
Tons.
So many.
And remakes. And the last movie we're going to do in this particular segment is one of my favorite movies of all time. One of only two, I believe, movies to win Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Screenplay.
Jesus.
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, I've seen that movie.
That's a great movie. That is a great movie.
I really wouldn't call that a horror movie. I'd call it more of a suspense.
I've had people tell me that, but you got to remember that one of the main characters in it is a serial killer who talks a guy into cutting off his face and feeding it to the dogs.
Yeah.
That's kind of a horror movie.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, it was the character, too, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Again, how many sequels, how many spawns? The TV show, which I don't really care for, is a big hit right now. Anthony Hopkins, never better than he was in that movie. Jodie Foster, never better than she was in that movie. Great screenplay. Followed the book real close, which is smart when you're doing that kind of story. Great direction. I'm glad you saw that one, because that is
Yeah, I've seen that one. Just recently, too, within the last few years or so, I saw
really?
That. Yeah.
And was it scare you a little bit?
You know, the sequel scared me more.
Sequel's brutal.
Yeah.
Sequel's brutal.
The one they made years and years after.
With,
what was it? Wasn't Red Dragon? Was it Red Dragon? They made three sequels.
Yeah, the second one with Anthony Hopkins in a big role was Hannibal. And that was the one where they kidnapped the bad guys, serial killers who were trying to lure Hannibal Lecter out. They kidnapped Clarice Starling. Wasn't Jodie Foster in this case. It was somebody else.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
I saw Hannibal.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie. I hope this isn't a spoiler alert for anybody. The bad guy. Is that the spoiler alert?
Yeah. Yeah.
The bad guy puts Clarice Starling in a pigsty. And the pigs are going to eat her.
Because that's what they do. That scene, yeah.
And here comes Hannibal to rescue her. And the pigs sense who he is, and they just kind of part to let him through. I thought, oh, that is so evil.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Well, these horrible pigs are going to eat her, but oh, wait, Hannibal's here. Let him pass.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, still gives me the chills. It was much better than it should have been. And again, Anthony Hopkins was great. So, all right, let's play a song by Ben Twisted. This is Happy Halloween. And we'll come back and talk some more about the scariest movies of all time, according to Entertainment Weekly. And Devin and I as well, I guess, to a certain degree.
Things won't be alright, not for you anyway. I'll chop your little head off and kick it around on the ground. Please don't mind the screams you think you hear. This time of year, candy by the door, axe in hand. I'm here to ensure that your Halloween is grand. I'll chop your little head off because it's just such a fun thing to do. Daddy's got a chainsaw too.
This is the Backseat Mobile Show live here on Rough Edge FM, and I got Devin Crowe in the studio with me. We're talking about the scariest movies of all time. You know what? I realize you had said before that Silence of the Lambs wasn't a horror movie. These aren't necessarily horror movies, even though so far they are. Scary movies. So, but again, I'm sticking with a serial killer talking a guy into cutting his face off and feeding it to a dog being kind of a horror movie. Devin was just talking about one of his favorite movies of all time, and it's a movie that I actually saw when it was in theaters, which tells you how much, very much older I am than Devin Crowe there. But a movie called Frogs.
Oh, man, I love that movie. I love that movie. And maybe at the time in 72 when it came out, it was terrifying.
No, it was still bad.
It was still bad. Okay.
Yeah. Even as a kid, I knew it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Oh man, that movie was great.
The poster, if you haven't seen it, it says the title Frogs in big letters, and then there's a big frog or toad. What species?
You know what's funny is the frog that's on the movie poster is not even in the movie.
Oh really?
Period. Yeah. The it's called Frogs, and it's got a frog with a hand sticking out of its mouth, and that's a bullfrog. But in the movie, they're actually toads that are attacking this island home, and. Yeah, so on the movie poster, it's a bullfrog, and in the movie itself, there are toads taking over it. And the same toads that are in the movie are the same ones that people used to lick and get a little
psychotropic.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The ones that make Homer Simpson's eyes change?
Yeah.
The stars in that movie, Sam Elliott, who I'd forgotten that Sam Elliott was in that movie, and Ray Milland, who's an Oscar winner for a movie about drinking. Believe it or not, Lost Weekend.
Not for frogs.
Not for frogs, no. In fact, it was one of those things when that movie came out, you were wondering, what's Ray Milland doing in Frogs? But, you know, you got to make a living, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of movies about animals that are scary, here's one I know you've seen, this one. Jaws from 1975.
Oh, yeah.
How can you not see Jaws? Another great movie. And I don't know when you saw it, because I'm sure you didn't see it in theater, since you probably weren't even a gleam yet. Did it scare you? Did you think it was scary?
No.
Even the part with the guy's head falling in the boat and that screeching sound effect?
No. So the problem with movies about animals that are supposed to be scary is that I was always raised around so many animals and so many different things that I had the knowledge that understood that was impossible for these animals to do these sorts of things.
That makes sense. And for, you know, the listeners who don't know much about you, Devin is a big animal and insect and life form guy.
Pretty much our house's nickname was the Ojai Zoo. I mean, if you could think of it, we've had them as animals. Ferrets, hedgehogs, bats, gophers. I mean, I've had pretty much everything under the rainbow.
You just found a bat the other day, didn't you?
He was adorable.
That was cool.
He was a cool little guy. I like bats.
Bats, a lot of people are scared to death of bats. And you should be. I guess you can get bit and be in trouble. But they're cool animals.
No, even if you get bit, I mean, believe it or not, bats are not even in the top 10 rabies carriers in California.
I know, but it's one of those things you got to be aware of. I mean, if you get bitten, the bat flies away.
Yeah, any mammal.
You're going to have to go through rabies shots, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any wild mammal, if you get by any wild mammal, you should go get a rabies shot.
Yeah.
I mean, a cat. I mean, a feral cat, you get, you know, you'll have more chances of getting rabies from a feral cat.
There's a lot more feral cats available than there are bats.
But here's a scary fact, and there's a lot of them around here. The number one carrier of rabies in California are skunks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like them anyway.
No, I hate... you know what? I hate raccoons, but I don't mind skunks. I'd rather deal with a skunk than a raccoon.
I used to think raccoons were cute until I started working at my current job, which you also work at. And the ones that I've met that were getting relocated, they're not pleasant animals.
Getting relocated, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it. They're not pleasant animals. In fact, they look miserable.
Yeah.
The ones... I remember one in particular that had so many parasites on him, you could see him moving.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, no wonder he's crazy, all that stuff going on underneath that fur.
No wonder he's angry.
Yeah, it's just vicious. So, all right. Well, anyway, moving on. Jaws, by the way, is probably my favorite movie of all time.
It's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. And even the sequels, I mean, they progressively got worse, but the sequels are still pretty decent.
When they got to the one that had the family... No, that was better than the one that was the family had gone to the Caribbean, and the shark followed them there because it was brought there by a voodoo curse to kill them.
What Jaws was that?
Yeah, I think it was Jaws 4.
I don't think I saw that one.
You did well by not seeing that one.
Oh, I want to see it now. That sounds terrible.
It was really bad. This next one I've seen, and it was kind of scary. It didn't scare me that bad, but it's The Ring from 2002. Have you seen that?
I have seen that movie.
Dan, what did you think about that being scary? A little bit, maybe? Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I, you know, the image of the girl crawling through the TV is pretty scary.
Yeah.
But it's not... The whole movie I didn't think was that scary. Here's a classic. You may have seen this one, too, and it's... The title of the holiday we're coming up to, Halloween from 1978.
I have never seen a Halloween movie.
Okay, let me tell you, the first one and I think the last one are the only ones you need to see. The first one was, it's a classic. It's become the slasher film of all time, and it's just a legendary film. I think it's celebrating its recent, and it would be 36 years. Yeah, I think they just released a 35th anniversary edition of it, as a matter of fact, on Blu-ray and DVD. But its imagery and its pacing and its acting and everything in it is so... The soundtrack is the stuff that John Carpenter did best at that period, the director. And he also wrote the score. So, you know, that legendary, iconic score you hear for Halloween, that was written by the director. No, that's another movie. That's Jason.
Yeah, that's Jason.
Yeah, and you notice there's no Jason on this list because those movies aren't scary. They're
those
just fun.
They're stupid.
It's stupid too. The last Halloween movie that Jamie Lee Curtis did was like a sequel 20 years later.
Yeah, it was Halloween 2.0 or something.
Something like that. And that was those are good bookends.
Yeah.
The stuff in the middle you can leave or take, but it's still fun, but it's just not quite as good as that. And let's do one more, and we'll play another quick song here. The next one on my list is Turning Pages. This is the kind of film I was talking about earlier, how some movies when they were released were much, much scarier than they are today. Psycho from 1960.
Yeah, see, I've never seen that movie.
I wasn't even born then. I don't know how you would react to Psycho these days. I'm sure you know everything about it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to come to you as a surprise like it did in 1960. Because I promise you, in 1960, when people saw that movie, it scared the hell out of them.
Didn't it almost get a rated X rating, too?
There was talk. Well, they didn't have ratings back then like that. So, but it might have got an adults-only rating. But that also might have just been marketing.
Yeah.
They might have been, no, this is so scary. You know, it might have been that kind of thing going on. Because Hitchcock, as great a director he was equally as good a marketer.
Yeah.
He knew how to make people want to see his movies, and it worked. Psycho is one of the greatest films ever made, but also it's a little dated if you watch it now. I can watch it over and over again a million times because of the camera work, the acting, the screenplay. I took a screenplay writing course once, and the instructor asked the class. He said, first of all, he made a statement. Every screenplay follows the exact same formula. And he laid it out. And he said, name one movie where the main character isn't... let me see if I get this right. Because this was one of my shining moments. Name one movie where the lead character isn't introduced in the first 5 minutes. And I said, Psycho. She's introduced in the first 5 minutes. She's dead 10 minutes later. He goes, okay, Psycho. You know, you can't make those kind of blanket statements and not think about great movies like Psycho. Yeah. So he was wrong about that. But anyway, Psycho, you got to see that. You can take that one. And you'll like it because it's Hitchcock.
Yeah, I like Hitchcock movies.
See, there you go. And it's not as brutal as it may sound. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, play a song by the B-Movie Brits. This is Ghost with the Most here on the Backseat Mogul Show on Rough Edge FM.
I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
Ah, well, I attended Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it.
Listening to the Backseat Mogul Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. I got Devin Crowe sitting across there, and we're talking about the scariest movies of all time.
Excuse me.
Well, there's the scary movie right there, according to Entertainment Weekly. So, but you just mentioned a movie called Birdemic?
Birdemic, Shock and Terror. Oh, my God.
He says it's one of those horrible sci-fi type of, I guess it's not, is it still sci-fi? It's spelled sci-fi, but it's different now.
S-Y.
Sci-fi.
It's... I mean, there's sci-fi movie specials like Sharknado, which are great to watch because they're funny and everything. And then there's like the sci-fi movies that are terrible,
yes,
but they're still awesome to watch. And then there's like a classification that's just called Birdemic Shock and Terror. It's so awful. You are just questioning your very existence as you're watching it. You're like, what am I doing with myself?
I've actually added it to my Netflix list because I think that sounds like the kind of movie that I would enjoy. Plus, I want to get it and then trick my wife. I heard this movie's really good.
Oh,
put
God.
It in, give her 5 minutes.
That'd be great. It's so bad. I was telling Scott, there's a scene because there's like the male main character, he's an internet mogul or technology mogul, and there's a scene where they're in this boardroom that's like this cheaply constructed boardroom, and They talk about how they just made this big deal selling something or whatever, and it's for $1 billion. And like, no joke, like 10-15 minutes of the next scenes are just them clapping and pointing at each other with smiles on their faces, and there's nothing. I thought my internet was broken because it just kept going and going and going, and I had to fast forward to the scene and realize it was like 10-15 minutes of just absolute clapping.
Hey, we did it, yeah. It's like,
no, they don't even say anything to each other. They're just clapping and pointing and smiling. There's no words. It's just clapping. It's so bad. I was like, man,
I can't wait. I can't wait to get my hands on that DVD.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, moving on to our list of scariest movies of all time. You may have seen this one. It's a great movie, too. I have an issue with it, but that's my own personal thing. It's Seven from 1995, directed by David Fincher, starring Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey.
No.
It's another serial killer movie. And the reason I have an issue with... spoiler alert. I got to say that all the time now. I don't like movies where the bad guy wins. I like the bad guy to get what's coming to him, which is why I can't wait to see that new Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick. Can't wait!
Ooh.
That being said, Seven is really a scary, deep, thoughtful, smart horror movie. Serial killer movie. It's more along the lines of Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Than it is anything else.
I remember it.
Yeah, Spacey plays the same kind of smart serial killer playing games with a particular cop throughout the entire film.
Okay.
So it's really good, but again, well, I won't repeat that, so in case people miss it.
I like movies where the bad guy wins, because there's too many movies where the bad guy doesn't win.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. And, you know, those movies don't usually make money. When a bad guy wins, the movie usually tanks. Seven's a rare rule, but in most cases, when the bad guy wins, movie doesn't do well. There's a formula that works in the movies for box office dollars.
Here's Pacific Rim, because they're making a second one now.
Right.
I would have liked to see the monsters win, and then in the second one, the humans take back the Earth.
You know what? You may be seeing that because Guillermo has said that he's got two more movies lined up.
Yeah.
So he's got the sequel lined up, which maybe the monsters do win, and then the third one, we have to fight and get it back. That'd be okay.
Yeah, because there's just so many of these monster movies and stuff like that where we prevail and win and everyone starts hugging and kissing each other and you're just like, great, I just saw the same movie I saw 2 years ago.
Well, that's what it is. It's about the box office. And like I said, I like it. I like a movie where the good guy kicks the bad guy's butt. I was going to bring up another example, and I just slipped out of my head. So don't worry about it.
No worries.
One of the things I think is interesting, though, about you not liking horror films is that you have this huge spider collection.
I know.
And I'm not talking about spiders in a case, glass case, folks. I'm talking about live spiders. How many spiders you got at your house?
Oh, a couple thousand.
Couple thousand spiders, ranging from what sizes?
Ranging from a quarter of an inch all the way up to 13 inches.
You see? And yet movies scare you.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that being said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love the movie Arachnophobia?
Oh, my God. that's probably my second favorite movie of all time.
Really?
I love that movie. Yeah. I actually own the same species of spiders that are in that movie.
Do you really?
I do. The huntsman spiders, the little ones, that the little drones that were sent out to kill everybody, I own that same species. They're from Australia. They're an Australian huntsman spider.
Is that one you have to have a license for?
No.
So that you got... How big is the huntsman spider?
They're babies right now, so they're about 2 inches in diameter.
And are these ones that grow, how big do they get?
About 6 inches.
Like the ones in the movie?
Yeah.
Did you like the John Goodman character? Can you relate to him now?
I love that character. I love that character. I'll be honest, when I first got my job working at where I work, I did the old John Goodman shot, like strut, and I saw like a spider, and I was like... and spraying him. Had to reenact it.
Oh,
it was like the
awesome.
First day by myself. I was like, I'm going to be John Goodman today.
That movie is... That's you know what? There's a good scary movie for you.
That
because
is...
it gives you the creeps. Even somebody like you who's... Those
oh,
are about spiders.
I wasn't terrified at all.
No?
Throughout the entire movie. I was loving the entire movie. But other people... I mean, I can honestly see how that is a legitimately scary movie for
sure.
Other people. But for someone like me who's been working with spiders for 20 years, realizes that is just completely impossible for something like that to happen.
Yeah.
And but I love that movie.
It's a fun movie.
I was hoping you're going to bring that up because I absolutely... My friend just watched that on... posted that she was watching it on Facebook, and I was like, I love that movie. And she, I mean, this is years and years and years later, and she, after she got done watching it, she posted how scary it was, and I called her a sissy. Well, not those exact words, but I called her a sissy.
You know, it's funny because before I started working for the company we work for, I was also didn't like spiders. If I saw him, I'd kill him as soon as I could. Notice how much quieter here is the studio until the train goes by?
Yeah.
Yeah, get a train here. But anyway, since I started working there, they don't bother me at all, except for the Black Widows. Black Widows still creep me out.
Oh, see, you know, actually, when I was 7 years old, I was terrified of spiders. I had the biggest arachnophobia thing ever.
Really?
I was terrified of them. And we would go to reptile expos and we would, you know, lizards, snakes and stuff like that. It's just this big, big, giant thing where you go to, you know, get really inexpensive, rare species of reptiles and spiders. And I go by and there's this guy, he's at a booth and all he has is tarantulas. Just one species of tarantula. They're rose hairs. They're, you know, grandma stole a rosea. They're like $5 a piece. They're still that cheap now, maybe $12 now. And this is 20 something years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I look at it, and he's got one on his shoulder, just chilling there. And I just, I'm like 7, 8 years old. I come to a realization, like, why am I afraid of that? You know, like, big realization. And I asked my dad, I was like, Dad, can I get one of those? He goes, you're gonna take care of it? And I was like, yeah. He goes, okay. And I hand the guy $5. He goes, which one do you want? I said, the one with the one on your shoulder. He goes, okay. He picks it up, puts it in a little deli container, and hands it to me. And that was the start of now
2,000 spiders at
later.
Home. That's great. That's it's really cool. And you know, we want you to bring a spider into the show.
I know.
And it's better now because John's over here.
Yeah.
And the guest chair is over here.
Yeah.
So when you come in, we're talking about the Friday Shot Day show. When you come in, John won't be able to freak out because
he
already told. If you bring a spider here, I'm going to kill it. I thought. Yeah, I don't think John would live much longer after that. But that
you just have to pay it, pay for the value of it. I can any spider in my collection is easily replaced.
That's a terrible thing to say. They love you.
No, they don't.
All right, moving on our list here. After 7, we have a movie from 1968. And, you know, I would say it's eerie, but I don't think it's scary. And they remade it recently, and I don't know why. Rosemary's Baby. Do you ever even hear that? It's about a woman who was pregnant, and she's in New York, I believe, and everybody's happy because she's pregnant, and then weird things start happening, and she realizes she's probably carrying the son of Satan.
You know, have you ever been around a woman that's pregnant? Because they all think that.
That's probably true.
That literally was what happens. I mean, you start seeing faces and hands on the stomach. You're just like, this is Satan's baby.
Yeah, and that's that movie, even though it's a good movie, don't get me wrong, Roman Polanski directed it, but it's one of those movies. It's like, spoiler alert again, at the end of the movie in Rosemary's Baby, her baby, they take it from her after it's born. She goes to see it, though, and all these Satanists are around it, and it's got little devil eyes. That's
cool.
The big surprise ending. It was cool, but once you see that one, you know what happens.
Yeah.
So why would you ever remake that movie?
Yeah.
And it's the same with that movie recently that came out, Ender's Game. Ender's Game was based on a book that everybody loved and couldn't wait to make a movie. Took them 30 years or 20 years to make a movie finally. And when they made the movie, it's like, because the book, I'll tell you about it off air because I don't want to spoil this one for folks, is this kid they're training with basically video games and simulations to fight a war. And then at the end of the book, there's this big surprise ending. Well, once you read the book, the movie becomes, what's the point? It's got the big surprise ending. Why am I going to wait?
Exactly.
And it didn't work either. So that's just, I don't know why those movies happen. Rosemary's Baby, great movie. Not sure if that's scary. This next movie, though, I didn't think it was that scary, even though it's kind of, but I got a great story about it. Poltergeist from 1982.
I've never heard about it, but there's some cursing regarding Poltergeist, right?
There is a supposed curse. Three of the people in the cast died early.
Did the little girl die, too?
The little girl died.
She
the
got some
teenage
weird...
girl, yeah, she had some strange illness.
It's a really rare chipmunk's disease where your cheeks swell.
Yeah.
That's something that's legitimately called, like, chipmunk syndrome or something like that.
Something like that. The girl who played the teenage daughter was strangled by her boyfriend. And then the Zelda Rubinstein, who played the psychic, died. But she was, you know, she was up there anyway, I believe. Anyway, of course there's a curse. Even though Craig T. Nelson, you can see how much that's damaged him.
Yeah.
You do it live and well. Anyway, this movie was playing at the theater when I worked there in 1982. Because, again, that's probably the year where you were born.
Nope.
I don't even want to know. 1982.
85.
I said I didn't want to know.
Oh, you got to know anyway.
When this was playing at the theater, my friend was running the theater. And I came over the opening night of Poltergeist. And he goes, listen to that. They're screaming like the floor's falling out from underneath them. And they were. People in this theater screaming like that. It's really kind of a gentle horror movie.
Yeah.
But still, I guess it had some scary scenes in it and knocked those people out. All right, we're going to take another break here, play another song. This is a band called Devil with a track called The Ghost of Old John Stahl. And we'll be back right after this, the Backseat Mogul Show, Rough Edge FM. We'll be right back. The Backseat Mobile Show live here on Rough Edge FM. I am R. Scott Bolton. My guest today is Devin J. Crow.
What's up, yo?
How's it going, man? We've been talking about the scariest movies of all time, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to jump through a bunch of these still because we got we're getting down to the wire here. 28 Days Later.
Like that movie.
Scary movie?
Yeah.
I am a fan of the old school Walking Dead kind of zombies rather than the leaping, biting zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they all bite, I guess, but you know what I mean.
Running and gunning zombies.
Yeah, but 28 Days Later, scary movie. And the sequel was, what, 28 Weeks Later?
Yeah.
Also pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good movie,
opening too. Scene, as I remember, was a big chase and it scared the bejesus out of me. So that's a good one. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's original.
Never seen it.
It's fun. I don't know if it's actually that scary, but it's fun. It's, you know, Freddy Krueger, the burnt-up serial killer killing all the kids.
Oh, yeah, I know of him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. And Johnny Depp was in the original, which makes it kind of interesting.
Before he was Johnny
Depp. Yeah, before he was Johnny Depp. This one, this next one is one I just watched the other day with my son, The Thing from 1982.
Never seen that movie. I've always wanted to see it, though.
That's another one I think you could take. It's really suspenseful, but the beauty of that movie is, first of all, and I know gore effects don't bother you so much, right?
No.
It's the suspense.
Yeah.
The effects in that movie are so freaking creative and amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, there's one scene where it's basically, not giving anything away here, but it's a creature that is a spider with spider legs, but the body of the spider is a human head. It's really, really cool.
Did they remake the Thing too?
They did, yes, just recently they did a remake or a follow-up or something like that. It was never really... Yeah, and that was not bad either.
Okay, I know they did a remake of it. It's just called The Thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, this is the one from 1982, the original, well, not the original, because it was based on a 1950s movie called The Thing. So, but anyway, the spider thing is, it's got spider, it's huge with a human head. They have a Halloween figure you can buy of that. Yeah, it's $150. And my son and I were going... You know,
it's tempting.
It might be. It would be great to have that sitting on your table at Halloween time. This
right?
Human head with these spider legs sticking out
That'd
of it.
That'd be awesome.
It's really cool, but we didn't do it after all because my wife would have killed both of us. Next up, we got The Evil Dead. Devin, ever seen The Evil Dead?
I've seen one of them, and then I've seen Army of Darkness.
Okay, The Evil Dead was the original, made for $385,000.
I can believe that.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I can believe that.
But that movie, That's a scary movie.
That is a scary movie.
That is a scary movie. It wasn't until the second one, Evil Dead 2, which was really basically a remake of Evil Dead 1, that they introduced the humor that Bruce Campbell had. And, of course, he became a household name because of those movies playing Ash. I love the Evil Dead movies, and Army of Darkness is one of my favorite movies ever.
Number three.
It's got so much silliness in it. Yeah. You know what the original title was?
What's that?
Medieval Dead.
That would have been even better.
Wouldn't that have been great? They just recently remade Evil Dead. Yeah. I cannot believe that I haven't seen it, but I guess the big surprise at the end of it, this is not a spoiler because this is one of those things they tag on after the credits. If you watch the Evil Dead remake, at the end of the credits, all of a sudden Bruce Campbell's face appears, and he says, "They're still coming after me. They're still coming after me," and cuts off, which makes you think that because the remake was a huge hit, that when they do a sequel to that one, maybe Bruce Campbell will be
back. The remake did very well.
It did. It
for a remake. I mean,
huge.
It,
it was big. And I can't believe I should add
have
it
to
my Netflix.
Have you heard the Army of Darkness Broadway show in Vegas?
I was just there, and it's not the Army of Darkness show. It's Evil Dead.
Is it Evil Dead?
Evil Dead.
Oh, when I was there, it was Army of Darkness.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Evil Dead when I was there. And it's a musical. And I have the soundtrack, because of course I would. It's hysterically funny. There's one song called "What the F Is That?" But the F is spelled out. When you're in a Broadway musical and that's one of the songs, you're at the right Broadway musical.
Yeah.
But I didn't go. I couldn't talk to girls into it. It's like, Evil Dead, a musical, let's go. No. Okay. Carrie from 1976, based on the Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I've seen
Brian
that movie.
Brian De Palma. Good movie, kind of scary.
They remade it with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah,
right?
How was that? Did you see that
one? I haven't seen it yet, but I love her. I'm waiting for her to turn 18 so I don't feel like a pedophile.
It's got to be pretty close, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very close.
I just saw her in something recently. Oh, it was Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
Which
was a good movie.
I liked it.
I liked Kick-Ass 2.
It didn't do well at the box office, and it got bad reviews, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
I liked it.
Because she did a lot of ass-kicking in it.
Yeah.
The original Night of the Living Dead from 1968 by George Romero. Have I ever told you my Night of the Living Dead story? Have you seen Night of the Living Dead, the original? You know what it is, though.
Yeah.
Classic horror film, 1968. Again, because I'm so much older than you. In 1968, my parents sent my brother and I to the movie. Me being 7, my brother Doug being 5. At this triple feature at the Ventura Theater here in Ventura, California, strangely enough, the three movies were War of the Gargantuas, Destroy All Monsters, and Night of the Living Dead. So Doug and I are watching Godzilla. We're watching the Gargantuas. And then we're watching a little girl take a cement trowel to her mother's face. And zombies eating human flesh. And I remember walking out of that theater feeling kind of weird, like, I don't know, dead or something. That night, Doug was in the bunk bed. We had bunk beds back then. Those of you who listen to the Friday Shot Day show probably think that's really cute. And all of a sudden, he's up there making this noise. And I realize he's saying, "They're coming through the windows. They're coming through the windows."
He was
having a nightmare from that stupid, not a stupid movie, great movie, but had that impact. But little kids that age should not be seeing that movie.
And why would they put that in that triple feature?
Is that just bizarre?
Yeah.
But that's what they did then. And anyway, probably because of that, that is one of my favorite horror films ever. I watch it every year at Halloween. And the hardest part about Night of the Living Dead was it was like the porn movie Deep Throat.
Yeah.
The mafia got hold of it. And they were releasing their own prints in theaters and making all the money off it. So you have no idea how much money that movie really made. And it blurred the copyright for it forever. And the hardest part about that, about getting that movie as a collector was finding a decent copy.
Yeah.
Because they were all trash from, you know, whatever. Finally, somebody got a digital print and made it beautiful. And now you can look at it. And there's even a colorized version that's not bad, but you take the black and white. Scary, great zombie movie. The movie that started the zombie movies, without question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All those years ago. All right, we're down to our last page here, and then we got some more music to play for you. The last page of movies. This one, you may have seen this one as well. The Omen from 1976. Gregory Peck.
They remade Satan's, it, right?
They remade
I
it.
I saw the remake.
Dozens of sequels, all kinds of stuff. Satan's Son.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being that scary. I remember
no,
there being
stupid.
Some wild gore effects. But
I never saw the original, but I did see a remake of it in the theaters with my crazy ex-girlfriend, Lucy. We'll just call her Lucy. That's her name.
Okay.
And she thought it was terrifying, and she was Mexican, and not Hispanic, Mexican. She was straight from Mexico, so I'm not being racist, people.
This is the remake that you saw?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess what creeped her out the most, the kid's name was Damien.
Damien, right.
Which in Spanish means demon.
Well, that's why his name was Damien.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the devil's son.
Yeah, devil's son, and she was stupid. That movie was dumb.
Yeah, there were a bunch of
Omen movies.
He controlled
the dogs, too, and, like, killed the
Rottweilers.
The Rottweilers attacked people. That movie was dumb. And...
Yeah, it's I never could understand why those movies were so... It had a great score. Maybe the score was a little scary, you know? But they never really did much for me. And they made 4 or 5 of them before they went to remake, so I don't get it. Next on the list, we have An American Werewolf in London from 1981. Have you seen that? John Landis directed it?
No.
You need to see that one.
It's scary,
it's funny, and it's twisted. You've never seen cinema until you see the nightmare...
I've seen pieces of it. So.
Have you seen the sequence where the Nazi werewolves are shooting machine guns at people?
No.
See, that's what you... All you need is to hear that.
That's all I needed to hear.
And the last movie we have on our list, this is one I haven't seen. And it's one that I've been told over and over I should see. And it's from 1990, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Never seen it.
It's an independent art-type film... about a serial killer, obviously, that's supposed to be really scary and creepy and twisted and bizarre. And Michael Rooker stars in it, and you know he's good. Gotta see that movie one of these days, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I haven't.
Huh.
Anything else you'd recommend for Halloween?
Anything that has clowns in it?
Clowns are scary?
Clowns are terrifying. I hate clowns.
That new American Horror Story television series?
Yeah, I've heard...
Twisty the Clown is making all the buzz right now. There's even a group of clowns that are protesting him. Because he's so scary. Twisty the Clown. So clowns are It. Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
In the midst of getting a big screen remake.
Was that on the list?
Not on that list.
Really?
Scary. Well, it's a TV movie, so maybe that's why they skipped it. But that's a very scary one. Gonna be a big feature film here, though, soon. So we'll be seeing some of that. And anyway, enjoy your Halloween, folks. Devin, thanks again for coming in and saving me.
Absolutely.
It's really difficult to do a show talking to yourself and not having anybody to... talk back.
We should just get like a soundboard on our phone, and then like we ask a question, we just hit a button. It's John's voice saying something stupid. Isn't that right, John? He's like, "Oh, I like chicken. That's a good point, John."
That's a strong point, as Doug always says. All right, we're gonna close out with a track from Dean Madonia. This is a Running from the Moon. Dean is a musician who has done a recent double CD album about Frankenstein. And it's kind of along the lines of the Alan Parsons Project concept albums. And it's actually pretty good. So you can check that out. Dean Madonia. This is Running from the Moon from his Frankenstein double CD. Devin, thanks again.
Absolutely.
Folks, we'll see you next week on the Backseat Mobile Show on Rough Edge FM.
My lungs. Oh my God, what have I done? I'm running. twisted, tangled up in fear. Wishing it away from here. Wake me from this sleepless dream. Choking off my silent scream. Strangled by my foolish pride. There's no.
Some of the music from today's Backseat Mogul Show provided by Mevio's Music Alley. For more information, check out music.mevio.com. That's music.mevio.com.
This has been a Rough Edge Studios production.